accession number 19771, real one.
Redan, real one. Where were you born, please?
I was born at Wharton in Gdynia, near Clevedon in Somerset.
Which year was this?
12th of March, 1923.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in the Gdynia area?
No, my parents shifted to Clevedon, so my initial schooling was in Clevedon.
So Clevedon's really your hometown?
Yes.
And you went to school there?
Yes, I went to school there. Until my father died, and then my mother moved to Weston-super-Mare with the rest of the family.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
I left school at 14 years of age.
So that must have been in 1937?
That's correct.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I did. I got a job in the garage.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
No, that I had left the garage and that I was then at that time driving a van for a wholesale merchant.
Had you joined the TA pre-war?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did, and I remember it well because I was in church and the... Whilst I did not exactly hear him make the statement, the vicar from the pulpit made the announcement to the congregation of what Chamberlain had said, that this country was at war with Germany.
How did you feel about it?
I felt, in a sense, did I use this expression, a little elated as a young lad, that perhaps... completely wrongly, but I did feel a little elated, thinking, well, you know, as a young lad, it would mean something different as far as, you know, the nation was concerned, as far as I was concerned.
Did the war affect you at first?
Very little. I became a messenger in the auxiliary fire service, and during the raids on Weston-super-Mare and on the Bristol area, then of course I assisted in carrying messages between the various crews that were carrying out the firefighting measures.
Can you tell me something about the details of your Blitz memories, please?
Well, as far as the Blitz on Weston-super-Mare was concerned, I think it was more or less random bombings where a German aircraft could not unload their bombs on Bristol, that the bombs they had left over, they dropped on Weston-super-Mare, and all I can say is they caused some casualties in certain areas of Weston-super-Mare, in the Devonshire Road area, in the lower church area of Weston-super-Mare, and that also the bombing destroyed a lot of the high street. There were casualties, I can't remember how many, but as far as I personally was concerned, it was just a matter of taking messages from one point to another.
How did morale stand up to the bombing?
It stood up very well indeed. Very, very well indeed.
Did you use shelters yourself?
Yes, we had an Anderson shelter opposite my home, and that we used that when the air raid warning went to seek shelter in it. Rather damp instead.
Were you ever scared?
Oh, yes, yes. Particularly, you know, with the noise of the bombs, it was frightening. So I was quite scared when the bombs were coming down.
And you saw something of the bombing of Bristol?
Only from the distance. I actually seen, during the daylight raid on Filton, I seen the German bombers going up the Bristol Channel to Bristol. That was in broad daylight. And, of course, during the night blitz, the sky was lit up by the bombs and the fires arising from the bombs.
Any other memories from this period?
Very little outside of the, as I've stated, of seeing the from the distance the effects of the fires and the bombs in the Blitz on Bristol, of knowing what happened at Weston-super-Mare, that I don't think I have a lot, many more recollections, you know, of that particular period.
So when did you join the army?
I joined the army on 16th of April 1942.
Were you conscripted?
I was.
Can you take me through what happened, please?
Yes, I went to Bristol to have a medical examination. I was passed as fit for the army, for military service. I particularly requested to go into a tank regiment. Of course, that was rather naive, looking back on it. That I was then sent orders to report to Dorchester, to an initial training centre, and I reported there, and after 2 months I was posted from there to the 11th Battalion of the Devonshire Regiment, which was a territorial battalion, mainly consisting of personnel from North Devon.
Can you tell me about your basic training at Dorchester, please?
The basic training consisted of learning how to fire a rifle, the Bren gun, how to march in general, how to be a disciplined soldier. We did have one experience there when some E-boats came up the channel, and that someone thought it was the start of a German invasion, and they did muster us to go down to Weymouth. As it turned out, it was just, as I said, E-boats.
How were you treated in the basic training?
I found it very, very easy to assimilate from the point of view that I took to discipline very readily. I think the majority of my generation did take to discipline, and I found no difficulty, you know, as far as the forces were concerned.
How did the NCOs in charge behave towards you?
They behaved authoritatively, but having said that, they were fair, and certainly I would have no criticism as far as they were concerned.
Were you able to cope with what was expected of you?
Yes, it originated from the country. I don't think I had a great deal of difficulty in coping with the situation. Obviously a great deal of things were new to me, but certainly I had no difficulty.
Did you feel homesick?
Yes, I was glad when I got some leave to come home.
And where did you join the 11th Devons?
I believe I joined them when they were at Plumer Barracks in Plymouth.
What kind of reception did you get from them?
A somewhat different reception than I would have I had in the initial training. They were very much a disciplined force, as one expects from any army battalion, and that there were the what we used to call the type of bull jobs, I think we used to call them, the armed forces. The question of, you know, being smart in appearance and so on and so forth before you're allowed out of barracks, a matter of cleaning the barrack room floors, making sure they were spotless and all that type of thing. But I didn't find any difficulty with it.
Did you resent the bull, or did you just accept it?
I just accepted it.
Did it reach ludicrous proportions, or not?
On occasions, it appeared to do so. I remember one day we wanted to, in the evening, we wanted to leave the barracks, And the provost sergeant would not let us out because he said we were not, our trousers were not creased correctly. We recourse to a subterfuge and went and seen our company sergeant major and said, excuse me, sir, do you think we're smart enough to leave the barracks? So he inspected us. He said, yes, you are. I think we compromised him because compromised the provost sergeant because the sergeant major went with us to the provost sergeant and we were let out of barracks.
What else do you remember from this period?
Well, from this period, we went over to Northern Ireland, and we were in Northern Ireland for some time. And during that period, that we carried out a tremendous amount of exercises on the Mourne Mountains, and also that whilst over there, we assisted the farmers with the gathering of the potato harvest and the flax harvest. But the majority of the time we spent in training on the Mourne Mountains, on exercises, but also that we spent a tremendous amount of time on a new drill that was new to me at least. They had introduced called a battle drill, whereby we used to perform that on the parade ground, and then we used to put it into action on the exercises.
How did you like doing the farm work?
Oh, it made a nice change from the normal army routines. And we got fed well.
Did you get paid for it?
No, we got no extra. It was just part of the detail as far as the army were concerned.
But you got fed by the farmer?
Oh, yes, fed very well indeed.
How did you gather the flax?
Well, they cut it and then they used to gather in sheaves, from what I can recall. And we used to pick up these sheaves and load them onto the vehicles with the potatoes. Of course, they used to have a machine that went along and spun them out. And we used to pick up all the potatoes and put them in bags. It was rather a back-breaking job that was with the potatoes.
Was the flax job an easy one?
I think it was on reflection.
How did you get on with people in Ulster?
In those days, I didn't understand what... I was not aware of what the background had been in Ireland, but I was in Enniskillen, and I found that there was a certain remoteness as far as a lot of the population was concerned. Similarly, when we were posted to Banbridge, again, there was a remoteness on the part of the population. We'd done a War Weapons Week parade in Newry, and we had our Bren gun carriers and a general march through, and we were greeted with complete stony silence. As I said, I was rather naive about the situation that had existed over there for some time, but as far as Newry was concerned, we just passed through there in silence.
Did you ever come across any friendliness in Northern Ireland?
Oh, yes, there was some friendliness. We were always apprehensive about the bee specials. Very apprehensive indeed, because when we used to leave our... I call them barracks. In actual fact, one of them was an old brewery that had been used as a barracks. That to be out late on the evening was quite a dangerous thing. These specials had a tendency to shoot very rapidly, and we didn't have the best relationships with them.
Did any soldier get shot at?
I do not know of any personally, but there's always this kind of apprehension as what may happen.
Was there any unpleasantness with the bee specials?
No, not as I know directly. Certainly I was not involved in it.
So why should you have been apprehensive of it?
I think there's this general apprehension. Perhaps it was spread, you know, by word of mouth throughout the forces who were over there. But there was this apprehension concerning them. Perhaps wrongly.
Were you ever invited to anybody's home in Ulster?
No, never.
What else do you remember?
Outside of the exercises and the picking up of potatoes and the flax, very, very little, except it was a very rough old journey between Larne and Stranraer. Very rough.
And then?
And then the battalion was returned to England, and what happened then is that we were split up. A draft of about 200 men, of the younger men, as I said just now, that the 11th was composed of a territorial battalion, and that a lot of those men were what I would term fairly elderly, in the late 30s, early 40s. So they picked out, well, I presume they picked out, the younger members of the 11th battalion, and they then sent us on a draft. We didn't know where we were going at that time, but they did issued us with topies, so therefore we fully expected that we were going to a hotter country. We went out on a draft under the command of Major Dean. He was then a captain, Dean. He later got promoted to major and unfortunately got killed in the attack on Nippon Hill. But we were, as I said, we were sent on this draft, and eventually we did finish up at in India, in Bombay.
Any experiences on the journey to India?
Very, very little. We, if my memory serves me correctly, we celebrated Christmas at sea. We were very cramped on the trooper, very cramped indeed, as most troopers were cramped. But there was little that I can recall that was of significance, except for the fact we were going through we were going through the Mediterranean, and that apparently that some German aircraft had been detected. As troops, we were put down below decks, and that we heard a gunfire, and that later on that I found out that one of the troopers, it was called the Marnix, had been hit by the Germans and had to put in at one of the African ports. By strange coincidence, in later life, I met up in the same occupation as I went into a person who had been on the Marnix when it got hit. I don't know about the casualties on it. I don't think there were a lot of casualties, but nevertheless, the ship was disabled and had to put into one of the African ports. But outside of that, the journey from this country to India was with other little events. Nothing else seemed to happen.
When you say Christmas, was this Christmas 42 or 43?
Oh, no. This would have been Christmas 43.
And you went out as a battalion?
No. Just as a draft of about 200 of us.
Where did you arrive in India?
Bombay.
What were your impressions when you got there?
I never seen anything like it. I was actually amazed to see all these mass of people and what we would call stevedores in this country. I forget what they call them out there, and the swarms of people around the boat, and it, as I say, it completely astonished me. From Bombay, obviously we travelled by train up to Dulali, on the way up there, that it amazed me, the masses of people that they were, the divergence as far as that populace was concerned. It was something that I hardly expected to see, but nevertheless it was there before my eyes.
You know roughly when you arrived in Bombay?
I would think it must have been the January of 1944.
And then?
To Delhi, and that was the main transit camp, and that was full of troops. And then the draft I was on was split in half. Half was sent up to Assam. The other half, of which I was a member, was sent to Bhopal State, to a place called Budni, to carry out jungle training. So at Budni, we had a month's jungle training, and from there we were sent up via Calcutta and up the Brahmaputra to Dimapur, and from Dimapur by truck we were sent past Kohima, because it was prior to the Japanese attack, past Kohima down to a place called Kangaltongbi, which was a another dispersal point. At Kangaltongbi, we carried out patrols into the hills. I didn't know the reason that we were carrying these patrols, but obviously it was to look for Japanese. We never encountered any Japanese, and I was only there, my draft was only there a few days. We were then sent up via Imphal to the Shenan Saddle, which was a ridge of very high hills, as I would put it that way, where the 1st Battalion of the Devons were already dug in bunkers. That was the journey, more or less, which took me up to the draft of which I was a member, that part of the draft which I was a member, which took me up to the Shenan Saddle.
Before we go on to that, can you tell me about your experiences in Bhopal State, please?
Well, basically, what we done there was just carried out the jungle training. That was being acquainted with punji bags, punji pits, and that type of thing. Also, accustomed us to the jungle, you know, the jungle in of Bhopal, which we had never encountered jungle, obviously. So it was a good grounding as far as to get more knowledgeable of what jungle warfare would be like. They also gave us instructions on, I well remember, like the Tommy gun. I had never used a Thompson submachine gun, and they gave us instructions on that type of weapon. All in all, it was quite a thorough training as far as jungle warfare would be concerned.
Did you say punji bags?
Yeah, punji bags. What punji bags were, they were bags made out of leaves, and that they had in them sharpened bamboo stakes. And these were arranged so as that the bag was it, for example, put up high on a tree, have a trip wire, and anybody walking towards it would trip the wire. The punji bags would then come down, and the bamboo stakes would impale them. The punji pits were holes dug in the ground, in which were sharpened bamboo stakes. They were covered as though you would cover for an animal trap, and anybody coming along the path would, of course, fallen through the flimsy covering, and they would have been impaled on the bamboo stakes at the bottom.
And you had to make this equipment?
No, we didn't actually make it. They'd already had made it, but showed us how we could make it.
Whilst you were in India, was there any civil disobedience?
No, not while I was there.
What was the attitude of Indian civilians towards you?
I have no criticism that certainly that we the type of people we met in the main were the what we termed the charwallas, and the people that was the Indians that were allowed into the camp, they had to be authorized to gain entry to the camp, and that certainly that as far as the Indian populace was concerned that I met, that I had no criticism of them. The things that I did encounter were that the amount of beggars that were always asking for alms, which that surprised me, but it was a completely, it was a new cultural change as far as I was concerned, and that I did notice that the poverty that existed, the very few possessions that some had, the fact that in the country areas that there some of their buildings were not buildings at all. That to me they appeared to have got some sticks and over it they had placed some type of tarpaulin and that became their homes. There were no sanitation, there was no running water, which, as I said, I must have been naive before I ever arrived in India not to expect that kind of thing.
Were you happy in India, you and your comrades?
Oh, yes, yes, quite happy. That fortuitously, as far as it, disease or anything like that was concerned, the only thing that I suffered with was prickly heat, which I think all of us suffered with. But certainly we were happy there.
What did you do about the prickly heat?
What we used to do is we used to try and soothe it, but in actual fact, the complete answer to what we found is to wait till the monsoons arrived and then strip off and then go out in the rain from the monsoons, and that appeared to completely ease or cure the prickly heat. Not cure it, because it was recurring. It still kept recurring. But it certainly eased it.
When you were going to face the Japanese enemy in Burma, how did you feel about it?
When my first experience of actually facing the enemy was at a position called Crete East, I believe. It was the next position facing Nippon Hill. And the first experience was when they came in on a night attack, and that was the first serious engagement that I took part in. It should be borne in mind that, contrary to what some of the historians have said, that on the features I fought on the Shenan saddle, we did not have barbed wire in front of us, we did not have landmines in front of us, and the majority of the Japanese attacks were night attacks. And the first thing that we were aware that an attack of an attack was when the Japanese were almost on us, that within far less than grenade throwing distances. So as far as my reaction was concerned, to battle, that was my first experience of the fact that the enemy was almost on us before we were aware of attack. It wasn't a very nice experience.